You're listening to The Hub
on screen.
Coming to you from ABC RN, on air, on podcast, and via the ABC Listen app. Your host is Jason DeRosso.
The Melbourne International Film Festival is upon us, and there's a remarkable number of independent Australian films playing. I'm talking about films that were made away from the big studios and without huge amounts of money from Screen Australia or the state funding bodies. So how do the filmmakers do it? Producer Hannah Riche spoke to three filmmakers to find out how they made it on their own, including Ted Wilson, who's made a docu-fiction film starring himself and his family.
A few weeks ago, I lost my job without much warning. I had a regular column in a weekend magazine. I also did some writing in their travel section. The timing felt right to take a break and visit my family in Hobart. I decided I wanted to write something beautiful about cricket. A piece of literary non-fiction. It would in some sense be about Tasmanian upper order batsmen. And it would be from the heart.
What you're listening to now is the trailer for Ted Wilson's Under the Cover of Cloud. Wilson, who wrote, directed, produced and starred in the film, describes it as a bit of a hybrid, blending documentary and fiction. I guess the hybrid thing, how does this all work?
I guess in some ways it's a little bit like, although tonally it's very different to Borat, where you've got the writer, director, protagonist in the centre controlling the narrative. And that's me in this instance. But I guess the reason it works is because I was myself around my family, who then could tell, oh, Ted's just being himself. So they felt like comfortable.
They respond very naturalistically. Right. So there was no script, no structure?
There was what we called a treatment or a short story. Yep. And it is more or less that. So it's inaccurate to say it's unscripted and complete. I think it wouldn't have worked if I didn't have a really good sense of the story I wanted to tell.
How much money did this end up costing and where did you get that money from?
It cost about 80 grand, I think, all up. And it's my money. It's just all my money. That's been spent over about 3 years. The shoot itself cost about 50 grand. So I haven't received any government funding, any assistance from any of the funding bodies, which makes it hard. You know, I'm very much of the opinion that artists make the best art. And I think one of the problems we have in this country is a systemic issue of a lot of bureaucrats and businessmen in decision-making roles in the industry. And I think it's very telling when you have a look at the content we produce. So I wanted freedom. I worked with about 7 other directors in the cast, actually. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very poor. I'm almost bankrupt. But, well, I'm very proud.
In case you missed that, Ted's film cost a mere $80,000. Now, the average cost for an Australian film in 2017 was 100 times that amount, at over $8 million. Did you try to seek funding from the funding bodies?
I did. Initially, I think Screen Australia had a guideline where you could only get money if your script was like 90 pages long, which is means about 90 minutes, which is preposterous. And also Screen Tasmania at the time wouldn't fund the film because I hadn't lived in Tasmania for the last 6 months. So they wouldn't fund a film with three generations of a Tasmanian family and David Boone shot in Hobart and Belrive Oval. I was born in Hobart. I lived my first 25 years there. It's just ludicrous. And I think that's part of the issue of where you have bureaucracies involved in art. Once it got into MIF, I was hoping for completion funding. But neither Film Victoria, Screen Australia or Screen Tasmania would give me funding because I didn't have a distribution deal.
I guess that you were able to keep your costs down because of having a cast that was mostly your family.
Yeah, totally. Look, filmmaking, one of the issues is obviously it's very expensive. It's such an expensive art form. And my family, they were a bit reluctant to be in it. But also it's so beautiful now that we have a snapshot in time of three generations of our family.
Must have been frustrating to get knocked back and have to spend your own money, but what is so good about being independent?
I was very influenced for this film by a filmmaker called John Cassavetes. He was the first film director to really bring in kind of a realist take on things, and he spent a lot of time working with actors to create realism, whereas I made a lot of effort to capture realism, make everyone really comfortable. You know, I think the issue when money comes in, because I've been on a lot of professional sets myself, is that it feels like an office environment and the creativity is gone. It's structured around breakfast and lunch, and then it's also structured around production things like we've got to wait for the right light. Whereas to me, the most important thing is story and characters and performance.
And sort of on the negative side of things, it must be not just having not a lot of money to spend on things, but it's also just not having the heft of Screen Australia or one of these big groups to help you with stuff like distribution.
Absolutely. And that's why getting into MIFF is so important, because my film would have disappeared, really, if it didn't get into a big festival. And that's the root of an independent filmmaker. You need to get that kind of acclaim and then people will look at it.
Another indie filmmaker inspired by Cassavetes is Melburnian Jason Raftopoulos, whose film West of Sunshine is playing at MIFF as well. He produced it alongside Alexandro Uzas, and it tracks one day in the life of Jim, who's juggling and struggling with a few demands.
I want 15 on my desk by end of business today. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying to you, mate?
I hear you. I get it.
What are you going to do?
Race to Ballarat.
That's your plan?
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry, I'm late.
I don't want to have to say this in front of Alex.
Then don't.
He didn't want to go with you today.
What are you talking about? He's fine.
He's not fine, Jimmy.
How long have you been working on this film? And what, you know, what was the budget and how did you fund it?
It's definitely low budget. Alexi and I had been working on a much larger project that we were going to develop through the traditional methods and funding bodies. And, you know, I'd been working on the screenplay and we were about to launch into that whole process. And I knew it was going to be a bigger budget film. And then I kind of woke up one day and just felt like, no, I think we need to be shooting and shooting quicker than it would take, you know, 2 or 3 years to get this film up that we had been working on. And I just took a punt and I went back to my original film that I made as a short. And then I just said, well, look, let's change tack, make this a very low budget feature. And basically just off of that, people started to jump on board and we started pitching some investors and we had a very specific budget in mind on how we could shoot this, deferred payments. And we started shooting almost 8 months after that decision was made.
I mean, you said that you woke up and you're like, I just need to make this. Where do you think that urgency came from?
I suppose it was a combination of feeling like, okay, this might take 2 years before we start shooting, or I can shoot in a style that I really love, which is almost a documentary style, kind of on the street, using real locations, real people, and see if we can shoot this in a way that doesn't require, one, a lot of money, but two, is still compelling and is something that I want to say.
Seems like the positive of going on your own was just being able to just start it and do it and realise that vision, that compulsion to tell this story. What were the other positives of being independent for the most part?
I was completely free to do what I wanted and when I wanted. And I suppose in a way it's an indulgence and a privilege to be able to like look at my screenplay or, you know, shoot the way that I wanted to. And I'm really happy to get notes. But in a way, on this one, it felt really pure. I could just write what I wanted to write and kind of then I would be able to talk with my head of department, my cinematographer, my production designer, my actors, and say, well, this is what this scene is really about. So it was just a really beautiful way of making something really with a sense of kind of fervency and a sense of energy that I'd kind of admired from masters in the past, like John Cassavetes and those independent heroes that went out and just shot films.
This is your first feature film, right? You've made a few shorts, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I mean, getting a film made is honestly, it's like climbing a mountain with a pair of thongs, you know. It's so difficult. Just getting a film made is a miracle. And, you know, anything that happens, if it finds an audience or if it gets in a great festival, if it you get to release it, that's absolute gravy. So, look, after making 4 shorts, it was just time for me to really almost graduate into a feature film. But a lot of those things are just dependent on money and time and funding bodies.
What were the other challenges that came up?
Probably the take-home message when you're doing it this way is that you don't have time and you have to cut corners people can only be there giving their time and effort, even though, you know, you're paying them a very small amount and, you know, you're giving them deferrals afterwards. But to actually have people there means that you only have a limited time to shoot this. So we shot 32 locations in 18 days. And that was the greatest challenge. And then, thankfully, we got the film to a point where it was in good shape and we showed it to Screen Australia and they came on board for post-production funding, which was an amazing thing because that's how we were able to finish the film. And then once we got into the Venice Film Festival, which was an incredible thing to happen to us, everything seemed to snowball since then. And to have it then have its Melbourne premiere, it feels like it's coming home almost a year later.
Filmmaker Jason Raftopoulos there talking about his feature West of Sunshine. Now, some filmmakers like doco maker Genevieve Bailey have sought out alternative funding schemes. Bailey had a hit with her last doco, I Am 11, which was a snapshot of the lives of 11-year-olds across the globe. Her follow-up, Happy Sad Man, is having its world premiere at MIFF. In Happy Sad Man, Bailey tells the story of five men in her life living with mental illness, starting with this man, John.
I'm just me. But then on the big screen, I've got a mental illness. So have you.
And that's it.
God's hard we've been going on.
Let's talk about the journey of you making the film. It's been 5 years that you've been working on it.
Well, I said five and then I was like, hang on, was it six? And now I look back at the footage and there's actually some of the early interviews from 7 years ago, 2011.
Tell me a little bit about the process of making it and how you funded it.
I think one of the challenges with documentaries and actually why I love them is that they have their own pulse and they sort of dance to the beat of their own drum and you need to be there to document that. So when I used to do fiction, you know, comedy and drama films, you're very in control of the schedule. Whereas with a documentary, following people's real lives, you don't know what's going to happen and when. And so making Happy Sad Man, I probably didn't think it would take as long as it has, but I'm really glad that it did. And I think in a way what's challenging about financing a documentary is that as much as you can plan for a certain period of time, often it goes over. Often the shooting period is extended, the editing period is extended, and that can be really costly. So in terms of financing this film, my last film, I Am 11, was unfunded. We self-financed it. We didn't have any grants or rich relatives paying for the film, and that was really challenging. But it also created an environment of total freedom. We really wanted to make sure when making Happy Sad Man that we still felt that creative freedom in being able to really immerse ourselves in these men's stories. But doing that without funding wouldn't have been possible. It's just not sustainable to continue to do that. So I heard about an initiative called Good Pitch in Australia. Started in the US and the UK. And when it came to Australia, I thought, I really want to apply. I have to be part of this. It's very competitive. A lot of filmmakers apply and they choose about six or seven filmmakers each year. And we were super lucky to be selected to be part of that initiative. And I called them the good gift. It's called Good Pitch, but I consider it like the fairy godparents of documentary in Australia. And over the last 3-4 years, an amazing amount of documentaries have come through this initiative, like Gaby Baby and Frackman and That Sugar Film, and films that have not only been great works, but also the impact and the reach of those films have been awesome. So we were asked to pitch Happy Sad Man at the Sydney Opera House as part of Good Pitch. And the room was full of people who potentially would be interested in supporting documentaries with some sort of social impact. And we were really thrilled to be able to finance the film that way through private donors and philanthropists and people working in the sector who wanted to see the film make a difference. So
Good Pitch doesn't exist anymore, right?
So Good Pitch in the state that it was, which was an event at the Opera House, that doesn't exist, but Shark Island Institute are now running slightly different variations of it. So development labs and funding opportunities for filmmakers working in documentaries.
What do you get out of working with people like the people who funded you through Good Pitch?
For me, what working with Good Pitch and our partners made possible was a really deep appreciation for the time it takes to make films. So we were never rushed. We were never told, hurry up, hurry up, you know. And I think that's really important with documentaries to be able to, as you've seen in the film, there's a story that kind of unfolds towards the end of the film that if we had a rush to make it, we wouldn't have been able to include that. So just really feeling that they've got our backs and they know that we understand the importance of really sticking it out through sometimes hard periods in the production to get to the end.
I'm wondering about the challenges of being indie.
It's interesting. It's interesting thinking about what are the challenges of being indie. When you ask me that, the first thing that comes to mind are all the positive things about being indie. I've loved working in a really independent way. And I guess one of the big factors for me is being able to maintain a very, very strong relationship with the participants in my films. So, for example, there were more people involved and I didn't feel a sense of authorship or ownership over the final film. I'd feel a bit uncomfortable if you've got people in your films who trust you. As a documentary filmmaker, as a director and producer, I gain trust with my participants. And if I was to, at the end of the day, say, you know what, the final cut has got that stuff in there you didn't really want me to work with, but unfortunately, you know, the powers that be wanted to use those shots, I'd feel really cringy about that. So I think for me, being independent has been the best way to work in terms of knowing at the end of the day, if there's something I want in that film or I want cut out of that film, I've got the final word, which is quite rare, I think. So I treasure that.
Producer Hannah Riesch speaking to three indie filmmakers who will be showing their films at the Melbourne International Film Festival this year, which of course kicks off this week. And those films are Happy Sad Man, Under the Cover of Cloud, and West of Sunshine. So check them out in the festival. A couple of them, West of Sunshine, I believe, is getting a release more widely around the country in upcoming weeks.